for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 11th, 1998. 4th of July, Family Week Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Worth of Bella Vista, Arkansas is the teacher of the evening. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
This is Brother Chuck Worth from Bella Vista, Arkansas, and he is a teacher. That's his profession for Jesus.
Amen.
And he's going to continue on about Abraham tonight and in the morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you're so good. Thank you, Father, for these people that have come out. Father, with a hungry heart. Father, you say they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, Father, you promised to fill them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we ask for spiritual understanding of your word. Father, we desire to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Father, we thank you that you're the revealer of the word. And Father, I'm a vessel. And Father, I've labored at the wheel of the grindstone and I've ground the corn. And Father, I ask you to turn it into wine. And Father, that the wine be with the oil of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many got your Bibles with you? I believe there are two gates into the city, and you're the city. Okay? There's an eye gate and an ear gate. And I like to not only have you hear what I have to say with a spiritual ear, but I want you to see in your Bible with a spiritual eye. You know, in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, it talks about having ears to hear, they can't hear, and eyes to see, and they can't see. But it goes on and says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. And I just tell you right now, your eyes and your ears are blessed because you're going to see and you're going to hear what the Spirit has to say to you, the church, the city of the living God tonight. Okay? And I just want to kind of look at, of all places, I'm going to go to Song of Solomon, okay? If you'd turn there with me to chapter 1. And I want to tell you why you're here and why I'm here. And we need to understand, I didn't come just to preach a sermon, okay? I didn't come to build anything for Glenn and Irma or to build anything for myself or for any other leader. I came for one purpose, and that's to build you, the people of God. Okay. And I want to show you that in Song of Solomon. In chapter 1. And this is about the Shulamite and about Solomon. And Solomon is a type of Jesus Christ and the Shulamite is a type of you, the church. Okay. In verse 5, she's speaking. And she says, I am black, but comely. Did y'all ever feel black? It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the inner man. Okay? O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. Kedar was a son of Ishmael, but also as the curtains of Solomon. And what that's saying, there's just a mixture with the in man from the beginning. Okay? And then she says, look not upon me because I'm black. And then she tells you why she's black. I mean, black speaks of darkness, speaks of sin, okay? She says, because the sun hath looked upon me. Now, I'm just going to describe the tabernacle of Moses. And if you don't understand the tabernacle of Moses, you need to get revelation of the tabernacle of Moses, because it'll open up the whole Word of God from Genesis to Revelation to you. In the tabernacle of Moses, there's an outer court, the court without, which I talked about last night. It's called the common court, or it's profane. Really, it's unholy. It's where they bring in all the beasts to kill them. And you put the beast on the altar. I'm telling you, you're the beast, and you and I have to get on the altar. Okay? Now, out in the outer court, the only kind of light in the outer court is natural light. It's the natural mindedness of the carnal man, the natural man. And my Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. You can't do it. And then in Romans it says the carnal mind is at enmity. It means an enemy of God. So that's why you and I have to have a spiritual mind to understand the spiritual things of God. And in that same book in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And you've got to understand the tabernacle of Moses pretty much. It's one of the ways of the five foundations of the Old Testament to understand the Bible, okay? But she's black. Don't look on me because I'm black, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Let's see. Because the sun, verse 6, because the sun hath looked upon me. Now listen to this. My mother's children were angry with me. Your mother speaks of... Lord, help me to be kind. There are really two mothers talked of in Galatians. Ishmael by Hagar and Isaac by Sarah. One is of the Jerusalem that now is and is in bondage, which speaks of the natural mind. The other is Sarah, which is the Jerusalem above, spiritually speaking, which is the mother of us all, okay? So stay with me here. It says, my mother's children, the people of God, it's the church that gets angry with you. Why? They made me the keeper of the vineyards, plural, the church system, denominational systems, but my own vineyard I have not kept. I'm telling you right now, I'm here to build your vineyard and not any system. If everybody builds your own system, the system will be God's system. Now, it sounds like I'm against denominations. I'm not against denominations. I'm against the systems that keep you from being all you can be in Christ. Okay. I'm not against people. I've been in many denominations, and they're part of my motherhood. They're what helped birth me. Okay? But I'm being birthed into the kingdom of God. I'm not of Paul. I'm not of Apollos. I can eat the meat of the Word. I don't have to drink milk. And Paul talked about that, right? Okay. So what I'm saying here is the reason we're here is to build your vineyard. Now you can go to Isaiah 26 and there's five things within a vineyard. And I'm not going to go into it. But there is a wine press within the vineyard. And there has to be a people in the wine press treading out the grapes to cause the wine to flow. And that's called tribulation. And I would just tell you that tribulation is good for you because it produces growth in your life. Okay? Now, let's go to Genesis. I just want you to know why we're here and what we're doing. Last night we did one. Abraham was called out or separated unto God seven times. And we did one last night. We didn't get very far, but we're going to do better tonight, okay? I had a brother cast out the spirit of quitting early out of me, so I'd go a little longer tonight. I'm just joking. Okay. Now, your country, remember Abraham, God said unto Abraham, let's look at it. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. You remember what the country was? I'm just going to review it for you, right? Country has to do with anything all that is familiar and comfortable, that which restricts you and prevents you from walking with God. Okay? A country is anything, it has boundary lines. And it's anything that keeps you from going on into the fullness of the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Turn with me to John chapter 3. I'm not going to go as fast as I thought it was. In John chapter 3, and I said I was going to do this last night and didn't do it, but I'm going to do it tonight, okay? Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and I'm going to read about, let me start with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees. I mean, no, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Okay? His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler. This was the teacher of the teachers and the ruler of the rulers. Okay? And verse 3, he says, he came to Jesus by night because he was in darkness. Night always speaks of darkness. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that they do except God be with him. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. Now listen to this. He cannot do what?
See.
He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand that's just being able to see the kingdom. There's a lot of people that all they can do is see the kingdom of God. They don't enter it, they see it. Okay? How many know you want to enter the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Okay, now let's go on. Verse 5. Verily, verily, Jesus is speaking. I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the what?
Spirit.
He cannot what?
Enter.
The kingdom of God. Now, there's a difference between seeing the kingdom and entering the kingdom. It is the Spirit that gives you the revelation of the Word of God. And you need to understand that, okay? Now, I'm going to go on. Let's go on to the second thing that Abraham was separated unto. And that's still in verse 1. He said, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred. From thy kindred. This deals with our natural and spiritual family. Okay? Our Father's house is a strong tie. Okay? There are two things you need to be very careful of as you're entering the kingdom of God. One is the tradition of man, and Jesus talked about both of them. The other is the commandments of our Father. And I want to look at those real quick. Turn with me to Colossians 2, verse 8. Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Turn with me to Matthew 15. I'm going to start with verse 8. Matthew 15, verse 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines," what? "The commandments of men," or the commandments of your fathers. If anyone that has taught you, I could be a father to you if you listen to what I say. Okay? The Bible says, take heed to what you hear. For with the measure you hear, it will be measured unto you. And if you don't know what you're hearing, you may be in trouble.
Amen.
That's why I say you need to have two gates. Gates in the Bible speak of judgment. Judgment was always carried out in the gates. And the eye gate is an area where you need to judge. The ear gate is an area where you need to judge. Hebrews says you're to judge and discern between good and evil. And that speaks of teaching. The land of our nativity, this is kindred I'm in. It can be the church, it can be a system, it can be a doctrine under which we were born. It keeps many from pleasing God. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 2, verse 11. Ruth chapter 2, verse 11. This is Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, speaking here. "And he said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." I left my mother and father and the land of my nativity, and I went into the wilderness to a people I had never known before. And you all seemed pretty strange when I came out, okay? You taught things and spoke things that I'd never heard before. Kindred in the original language means birth relatives. It's by clan, by tribe, by kind. It's individuals of the same nature. Individuals of the same nature. Peter talks about another nature. Talks about the divine promises. We get a new nature by the promises of God, right? If the woman, the church, has boundaries for the word, if the church tells you what you can believe and what you can't believe, I won't tell you what you can believe, what you can't believe, if it's in the Word of God. Okay? Because you see, the Word is Christ. Is that right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. So, boundaries, for the Word is boundaries. You're limiting the Christ within you from reaching its full potential. And if they do that, you are in, your mother is a bond woman. And you know what the Bible says about the bond woman? It says her son will not be heir with the free woman. Are you with me? You're all really quiet. I don't know whether you're agreeing or not. Okay. Let's look at in Genesis 12. You remember the saying? Separation brings revelation and leads to worship. I want to show you that here in Genesis chapter 12. How did I get in Exodus? Verse 4 of chapter 12. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. Separation, right? He separated himself from his country, and he separated himself from his kindred. Now listen. I've been separated from my kindred. I was raised in the same denomination as most of my brothers and my sisters. Some of my family, I didn't get saved till I was 50 years old. And some of my sisters have been praying for me all their life to find Jesus. And I found him and scared them to death. Okay? And I told them, I'm not the same person you used to know. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. And they couldn't understand that. And they don't receive me. I can be around them if I keep my mouth shut. But it's hard for me to keep my mouth shut. And I haven't forsaken them. I go back. But I'm not of my kindred. I've left my kindred. I'm a different sort than my kindred. I know that. They know that. Okay? Doesn't mean I don't love them. Doesn't mean they don't love me. I want to drop down to verse 7 of chapter 12. Remember, he had just departed? Verse 7 says, and the Lord... Listen, this is going to help some of you. Some of you will understand what's happening in your life. It's going to happen just like it happened to Abraham. And Abraham had to get rid of a lot of stuff. He's going to shed Lot. He's going to shed the desire for wealth. He's going to shed Ishmael. He's going to shed Isaac. There's a lot to get rid of. He's going to leave Egypt right after we get rid of kindred, okay? Verse 7 says, and the Lord did what? As soon as he departed, he got revelation of God. God appeared to him. Y'all want God to appear to you? Make a separation in your life. Do what he tells you to do. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, get rid of it. And then drop on down to verse 8. I'm going to start in the middle of verse 8, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Bethel means house of God, and Ai means a heap of ruin. And he's right in between. Don't know which way to go. Okay. And he builded, but Abram builded an altar unto God, and he called the name upon the name of the Lord. And so, separation brings revelation. God appeared. And when you see God, it just causes you to worship Him. If you have trouble worshiping God, you're not seeing Him. Because I'm telling you, once you see God, you understand how big He is. And once He starts revealing His Word to you, His Word just expands so much that you think, oh God, quit expanding Your Word because I can't keep up with where You are right now. And the Word just, it grows and grows and grows. Okay. That's pretty fast for kindred. I forgot to take my watch off when I started here. Let's go on to Genesis 13, verse 1. We're going to come into Egypt. Hold your finger there. Turn with me to Colossians. I so desire that you understand what I'm doing. Want you to understand what the Spirit is doing. The Spirit wants you to have spiritual revelation of the Word of God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and Paul's talking here. Verse 9. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. And what? Spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is the revelation of the King of the kingdom. If you don't have the King, you don't have much of a kingdom. Because wherever the King is, that's where His kingdom is. And if you don't have a King in you, or if He's a little bitty king, you got a little bitty kingdom. And that's a problem with God's people the King is not as big in you as He really is in the heavens and the earth. Okay, back to Genesis 13. And it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. Now listen. Have you all left Egypt? You really have? Well, I can take you back. I can take you back to verse 9 of chapter 12. And Abram journeyed. So if you're journeying, you're on the road, okay? Egypt speaks of the world and all that is in the world. Tell me everything that's in the world. That's absolutely right. 1 John chapter 3. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now listen, that is a bunch. Seeing double there. Now, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Egypt because I'm teaching in Exodus right now. I've been on there for ages and we'll be on there for another year or so probably. So I'm not going to try to explain Egypt to you, but I'm just going to give you some examples. There was water in Egypt. Water speaks of the Word of God. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5 talks about by the washing, we're cleansed, sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word. Okay? So water speaks of, well, it speaks of more than the Word, but primarily it speaks of the Word. And so there's water in Egypt. But there are lots of other things. There's biscuits in Egypt. And if you remember the story, but there was frogs in them. Okay. Listen, biscuits are bread. You got to have your daily bread. Frogs speak of devils. And you can get biscuits with devils in them. And you need to watch what you're eating. Okay. It really, biscuits, frogs in the biscuits really speaks of the world in the church. And I'm telling you, all you got to do is turn on your TV and you can see the world in the church. Oh, goodness. How many know there's death in Egypt? You know, Egypt's full of plagues. How many think the plagues are over with? How many know Revelation's full of plagues? Okay. We must come out of Egypt. That's the easier part. And once you come out of Egypt, you've got to get Egypt out of you. Now, we're going to see that when we get to Lot, okay? And he's the next separation. Turn to me to verse 11 of chapter 13. Verse 11 of chapter 13. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Lot's a lot harder to separate from. Lot speaks of the carnal mind. What's a carnal mind? I know it's an enemy of God. It's enmity with God, Romans, Paul said in Romans. Worldly mind. Carnal comes from the word carnivorous, which means flesh. It really is fulfilling. A carnal mind fulfills the lust of the flesh. See, you're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're led by the soul, your body's either going to do what the Spirit says or what the soul says. How do you know we're more soulish than we are spirit? You know, we're supposed to be more spirit than we are soul. As a matter of fact, the, The word is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder of spirit and soul. And that word is supposed to divide it. We're supposed to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soulishness of man. It's the five senses of man.
Yeah.
Okay? The carnal man wants God's presence, gifts, if you will, more than his presence. C-E.
Amen.
Okay? How many, the Spirit of God wants the presence of the Almighty God. You want to see Him. Paul wanted to know Him and to know Him in the power of His resurrection in Philippians 3. And you need to study that scripture and understand what that's saying. That's a different resurrection than the rest. You can check this out in Vines and many other books. It's an outstanding study. It really is. What Paul wanted, he wanted to be resurrected, his body to be resurrected out from the dead while still alive, walking in the body. And it's called the out resurrection. Okay. They are along for the ride, desiring only the benefits, despising the responsibility. I want no responsibility of having to conform my spirit, soul, and body to the image of God. What it's called is despising the right of birth or the birthright. And it's a type of Esau. And he sold his birthright. And the church is selling their birthright because they don't understand the Word of God. And it's not the church's fault. They haven't been taught. Now, the word lot means a veil, a covering. It means so many things. It means a candlestine, black art, magic, sorcery, dark colored, speaking of darkness, ignorance. It means to be sad. Lot walked by sight. He was greedy and worldly. He made his home in a city that was built by man and destroyed by God. He was the father of those whose name is a perpetual infamy, disgrace, and dishonor. Lot's possessions were destroyed in Sodom, and he ended up in a cave. Now, that would seem, if they destroy the city, where are you going to go? You're going to go out into a cave. But let me tell you about this cave. This word in the original is or, Z-O-O-R. And it means to be naked. It means to be laid bare. It means to have no covering or no garment. Nakedness speaks of sin in the Bible. If you're naked, you have shame. God wants you. In Luke, Jesus said to sell your garment and buy a sword. And elsewhere in that same chapter, or in that same book, he said, if I would not have come and spoken to them, they would have had a covering for their sin. But now that I've come and spoken to them, there is no covering for their sin. A lot of people use ignorance for a covering for sin. And it is. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
And so if you don't know, you can't do it. But if you don't know, so everybody says, well, I won't know. I'll stay ignorant. Then you're a child, and though you be heir of all, you'll always be under tutors and governors. Okay. Do we understand that? Okay. Lot lifted up his eyes in the lust of the eyes, journeyed toward the east, back toward the heap of ruins, Ai. He had never really left Ur of the Chaldees. He was still an idolater at heart. He looked for the closest thing that he could find that would satisfy his cravings for the old home place. And the closest thing he could find was Sodom. Okay. Sounds like the United States of America to me. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. The next time we find him living there, eventually we'll find him as an elder in that wicked city and his daughters married to their men. Lot's very name shows that he was bound. His blind carnal mind led him to the land of misery. The veil of the flesh still shrouded his thinking. God must sift and separate the man of faith from those who long for the witchcraft of Babylon. Lot's daughters married there. They were still virgin. There was no seed produced. Listen to me. Your whole purpose is to produce the seed. Okay? What God wants out of you is a seed. You can produce the seed one of two ways or both ways. By an offspring, or by you yourself becoming a seed of God. You as the church, we as the church, should be in travail and pain to give birth to a son of God. In the Bible, it's called the man-child. It's of Revelation 12. And there is going to be a man-child birth, whether it's out of us or somebody else. I hope it's us. And that child is going to be caught up to God and His throne. And the whole purpose of being caught up to God and His throne is so you can go to work. Because saviors are going to come up on Mount Zion, it says so in Obadiah. And the body of Christ, the first fruits unto Christ, is going to be the delivering instrument of the earth, and the church doesn't even know its purpose. That's strong, isn't it? I'm sorry, it's the truth. When Abraham separated from Lot, he allowed Lot to choose his land, and of course Lot chose that which looked the best. God took Abraham up the mountain, spirit. Anytime you go up in the Bible, the words in the Bible, arise, my love, my fair one, come away with me. He don't want you to go anywhere except where He is. Up in the Spirit. Closer to God. All that you see, God spoke to Abraham, said, all you see, Abraham, is yours. That's true today. That's important you understand that. Everything you can see in the Word of God belongs to you. If you can't see it, you'll never get it.
Amen.
Okay? I didn't mean for this to be heavy. This isn't as much fun as I thought it'd be.
Come on, brother. Come on. Got some fun in heart.
We got to be able to see by the Spirit. What the Spirit is saying to the church.
Yes.
I know Abraham got even what Lot had chosen. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Okay. Oh, we're doing really good. Let's go to Genesis 14, verse 21. This is the next separation Abraham had to make in his life. It's a hard separation for a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders. I mean, there's a lot of money in God's people's pocketbooks. Okay? It doesn't take a whole lot of people in a congregation for a teacher of the Word to have a pretty good income. It's true. The next separation is a desire to get wealth. It's one of the gates that I taught when I was here 2 years ago. It's Issachar. Higher, Issachar means higher or reward. It's a message. Remember in the 12 gates of Revelation 21? There was an angel at each gate. Angel means a messenger. There's a man with a message at the gate. And then it tells you what the title of the message is. It's the name of the tribe. And so you had to understand, what does that name mean over that gate? And it means higher or reward. A man of God cannot be bought at any price. And if he can, he's not a man of God. This is most critical. God will never, never, never bestow an unlimited provision upon those who love money. Never. God's going to trust you with a little to see if he can trust you with a lot. Okay? The man of faith cannot be bought. He is under exclusive contract to Jehovah God. As a bond slave of Christ, he will not become the possession of another. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. Y'all know where I'm going. Chapter 6, verse 10. Are we doing okay?
Amen.
Okay. For the love of money. How do you know money is not the root of all evil? It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Okay? It's the root of what? It's the root of evil. Now listen to me. That word root, that means something. That's a devil lying in wait for you. It's a devil of evil. It's a root. How many know the axe was laid to the root of the trees? And there's really only one root. There's only one seed in the earth. And that seed is Christ. Now, I mean, there are a lot of other seeds, don't get me wrong. But they're the root of the enemy. They're the root of the devil, okay? Two men in the earth. This word root is, I can't even pronounce it. Hidzah. I probably butchered that. Forgive me. It means offspring. Sprout. Shoot up. It means all that is not spirit. Money will bring forth everything within you. That is, you know, the Bible says it's pretty hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? There's a reason why. It's the five senses, what I see, what I smell, what I hear, what I taste, what I touch. And money will give you a name. It's not always good. I'm not going there, okay? Turn with me to Haggai. Third book from the end in the Old Testament. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Haggai chapter 1. Start with verse 2. And this has to do with building God's house. Let me know, you're God's house. I'm trying to help you build it tonight. Corinthians talks about a master builder. He builds either out of gold, silver, and precious stones. Or you build out of wood, hay, and stubble. Now, I tell you, don't build out of wood, hay, and stubble, okay? Gold, silver, and gold is the divine nature of Christ. It's by faith. Silver can speak of suffering, but it mostly speaks of redemption. Precious stones. Gifts are as precious stones. And you've got to build your house out of all that is there. Now, I'm just going to tell you something about gifts. God gave two gifts to you.
He gave His Son, and He sent His Holy Spirit.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that the Son gave five gifts to you and to me. They're called the ascension gifts, and much of the body of Christ don't even accept them. They were given by Jesus Christ for the perfecting of the saints. And as far as I can tell, the saints have not yet been perfected, so the gifts must still be here.
Amen.
Okay? Okay? The Holy Spirit gave the gifts, the nine gifts of the Spirit. Okay? And all of that is to build you and I, the church, up. And if you don't use any one of them, there will be a kink missing in the church building that you've built, which is yourself. We okay?
Amen.
Okay. Haggai. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, this people say the time is not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie in waste? Are you building natural, physical homes for yourself, and the house of God is going unbuilt? He says, I love Haggai. Consider your ways. You know, they're wrong. Now, verse 6 says, ye have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is nothing none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag, and there's something wrong with the bag. If you got holes in your pockets, I would look at myself to see if I'm building a place for God to dwell. Okay? I hope you can receive that with the spirits it's intended. That can help some of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All your needs that you have will be given to you.
Amen.
If you first build the house of God, which you are. Now I'm going to tell you that many preachers have talked about bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. And tomorrow I'm going to teach on the corn, the wine, and the oil. And I'm going to tell you that you're the storehouse. And you can't hold the corn, the wine, and oil unless you get things right with God. Turn with me, Psalms 37:16. Oh, moving right along. 37:16. Listen to this. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Y'all believe that? It's absolutely the truth. One more. Turn with me to Psalms 49, verse 6. Oh, this is gut-wrenching here. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. What does it do? What good does it do if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Now, see, the church as a whole doesn't even understand the soul. They kind of lump the spirit and the soul together. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay, let's go to chapter 21 of Genesis. Are we okay? Are you doing okay time-wise? Okay. Okay. Hey, brother. Your prayer worked here. Okay. Genesis 21, verse 9. This is the next separation after a desire to get wealth. And it's called Ishmael. And Sarah saw... How many of you ever birthed an Ishmael? Now, don't raise your hand. I'm going to tell you, Ishmael is the mark of the beast. It was derived from the head of Sarah and from the hand of Abraham. And it's got the mark of the beast all over it. Now there's a lot of people that are teaching about the... Don't you Christians take the mark of the beast? How many know that the Shulamite knew she was black already? God's people don't know they're black, and they're covered over with the mark of the beast. And friend, I'm not worried about you getting it. I'm worried about you getting rid of it. Boy, if you can hear that, that's good. It'll set you free. Genesis 14, for wealth. Genesis 14, 21 through 24. I read it, right?
Oh, you did? Well, I think you just told us about it and never did read it.
Well, let's go back there. Let's go back and read that. Yeah, I want to talk about that. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's why I moved her up to the front seat. We are one. Verse 21 of Genesis 14. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, This is after the battle of the kings, okay? And one of these kings is coming to give Abram some money here. The king of Sodom, verse 20, I said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Abram said to the king of Sodom, boy, I'd like to teach this to pastors. Don't get the wealth for your church from the world. Don't get it from Sodom. Man, you put a curse all over your church, all over your people. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And I will not take from a thread even to the shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Okay. Everything you need, God will supply for you. Okay, back over to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, I'm going to start with verse 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. Now, how do you know Sarah is the free woman? You notice in the Bible that all the concubines and the slaves can get pregnant. All the free women, the women of God, are barren. Are y'all waiting for the church to produce? Be careful what you produce by yourself with the assistance of the church. Okay? He that has started a good work, and that's Almighty God, is going to perform it. Okay? If we're obedient to the Word and do everything He tells us to do. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And go to Galatians and hear the same thing. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous unto thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, which because he is thy seed. And Abram rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar. And, you know, you could spend a week teaching right here, and I'm not going to. Putting it on her shoulder and the child and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness. Now, I'm telling you, you got to get rid of the Hagars in your life. You got to get rid of the Ishmaels in your life. And you got to quit birthing them. You understand that spiritually? This speaks to us, Ishmael, this speaks to us of the product of the flesh, a man-made attempt to bring forth the promises of God. Now listen to this. And this is what the Bible says, so don't get upset with me. Let me read it just like it says it. The old nature, the carnal man, is a wild ass nature. Okay? How many know it has to be harnessed? Okay. The fruit of human wisdom and human strength. Okay? Ishmael was a good idea. He is the sixth separation of Abraham's walk, which is the number of man. Okay. Just a few notes. The man-child of Revelation 12 is born of the free woman, not the bond woman. Those churches that are bound with the ways of Egypt cannot produce the son. They'll produce an Ishmael. The word Ishmael means Yah will hear. He will hear God, whom God hears, whom God understands. He received his name because God had heard Hagar's affliction. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And you can look at the nations and see that happening in the natural. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Ishmael speaks of the old nature, the first man, Adam, the beast nature, the flesh. This nature is untamed and needs bridled. By contrast, the ox nature is the new nature of the new man, the last Adam, the man of spirit. Okay? Praise the Lord. Separation number 7. Turn with me to Genesis 22. This is the ultimate test. The promise had become a reality. Let me know that. God had promised Abraham a son. They birthed an Ishmael. Abraham had held it in his arms and had watched it grow. Got anything in your life that you've done that with? Now God demands that which he loves. Do we love the promise of God more than the God of the promise? This is worship in its purest sense. Okay? Bible, there are four types of worship. Okay. The first one is ignorant worship. The Bible talks about it. The second type is a vain worship. You ought to know better, but you do it anyway. The third one is will worship. That's where you need somebody to help you along. And it's good. I mean, it's what's going to get us to the real thing. And the fourth one is they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. And you need will worship until we get to that point. We don't need vain worship, and we don't need ignorant worship. A son is promised, conceived, birthed, weaned, and given back to God. He's full of joy. His name means laughter, right? Now listen about Isaac. Everywhere Isaac digs, he finds water. Isaac dug some wells, and they'd come along and stuff his wells up with animals, dirt. Now listen, you're the well. You're the well of water. Somebody wants to come along and put an old dead animal in your well, don't fight with them. Just go dig another well. Want to put dust in your well? Dust speaks of the curse. Okay. Just go on and dig another well. There's enough water that you'll never run out of places to dig a well. You can open this book and you can dig so many wells that you can't contain the water that's in it. I'll tell you, I know firsthand, you can't do it. Oh, my. Now listen to this. Take this with understanding, spiritual understanding. Abraham did not ask nor take the woman up the mountain. Only the sacrifice and the son go up the mountain. Read it. The servant always stays at the bottom of the mountain. Now let me explain what I just said. In the Bible, spiritually speaking, the woman is always less mature than the man. In the Bible, male speaks of maturity. Now let me just say something in the natural. In the natural, in the church, and it shouldn't be so, most churches, the women are more mature than the men. Shame on us men. Well, you know what blessed me out of this whole trip here? Was there was five guys up here, young men with one woman leading praise and worship. Oh, that just blessed my socks off. Amen. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? It just speaks of maturity. How do you know that in Christ there is neither male nor female?
Amen.
There is neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek. You know what Jew and Greek means? Jews. Now, don't take this natural. You've got to stand by the Spirit. No. Jews are religious folk. If you're religious, you're a Jew. The Greeks are those that have everything figured out with the natural mind. Okay? It says, the Word of God. Now, see. Got so many scriptures running through my head. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed, thank you, of the gospel of Christ, for it. You want power in the church? Power is missing in the church, right? For it, the gospel is a power of God unto salvation.
Yes, amen.
To them that believe. The Jew first, and also to religious folk, and also to those of you that think you got it figured out with your mind. And you don't. Okay, I got to rush right along here. Let's go. The servant always stays at the bottom of the mountain. He loves his lower life more than the higher sacrificial life of God. Do you understand that? If you're a servant, you're not a son. Now, I'll tell you, if you become a son, you'll be the best servant God ever had. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. But if you have this service mentality, and I'm not speaking against anybody, please understand. But you know how people come knocking on your door and want to share Christ with you or share God with you, and some of them are good and some of them aren't so good and all this? See, I used to hate that and I love it now. But I was trying to explain, when they come, I do most of the talking. And I tried to explain to this little lady how, you know, who she was in Christ. Oh, I just want to be a keeper at the door. And I thought, oh, God. Turn to me, Genesis 21:8, and I'm going to close. Genesis 21, verse 8. This is the birth of Isaac, okay? And the child grew. Now listen to this. This is a picture of you. Hello, Isaac. Everywhere you dig, you find water. The water's going to cause you to grow. The child grew, and he was what?
Weaned.
Now, you got to get off the milk. Okay? Now, look what happened when he was weaned. Abraham made a great feast the day Isaac was weaned. Okay. All this, everything God has for you, the whole kingdom, is by faith. But you must be born, circumcised, and weaned. Turn me to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, and I'm done. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And don't be like these folks. You aren't, because I've been talking to you. And you've been wonderful. And I believe you've understood by the Spirit, okay? And I, brethren, Paul speaking, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. It's what's going on in the church too much of the time. Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Meat speaks of the hidden things of God. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye yet carnal and walk as men? For while once I am of Paul and another I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And that's what's wrong with the body of Christ right now. But I hear rumblings. Amen. I hear rumblings. And in our fellowship, we're in Bella Vista, Arkansas. And we're a retirement community. We've got 12,000 people in a retirement community with no town, almost. But in Bentonville, which is Walmart country, okay? The Pentecostal, Charismatic, I don't know what you want to call them. There's a group of pastors that are coming together every Wednesday to pray for an hour. Pray for a half hour, fellowship for a half hour. Pray for one another during that last half hour, whatever is necessary. The pastors are uniting. We kind of united and brought in John Kilpatrick from Brownsville. And just other good things are happening. Brought in, who's this fellow from New York? With a Promise Keepers. He led the music. Joseph Garlington. And just a lot of good things are happening. And I can't go on Wednesday because I work. I'm a tent maker. No, I'm a rural carrier. Okay. So my wife goes. But it's just there's rumbling. At the body of Christ. Things are being shaken that need to be shaken so that anything, only thing that can't be shaken will remain. How many know that God's the only thing that can't be shaken? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this people. Amen and amen. Father, I just bless them. Now, Father, again, that which is of the Spirit, I just pray that by your Spirit you plant it deep in their heart. And now that, Father, it'll take root. And that, Father, another will water and it'll grow. And, Father, it'll produce fruit unto your kingdom. And that, Father, the fruit shall remain in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
There. This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.